All right, so, okay, what's up? So it's just me today. I'm not in North Hollywood. I'm at my parents' house in Sandy, Utah. Just hanging out. And we're gonna do this. We're gonna talk about this. You know? I've gone back and forth on whether or not is it my place to talk? Am I taking up space? You know? I talked to a buddy of mine and he kind of said, he goes, "Well, I think it's our problem. It's white people's problem. So yeah, we should be talking about it, you know?" So I don't know. I'm not doing this so that people can see I'm an ally or so that I can perform my activism. I'm doing this because I assume a lot of my audience is white. So hey, let's talk, you know? And I've seen a lot of black people who are being interviewed on TV or who are doing videos online, who, you know, when they're addressing the idea of, does this feel different from other times? Does it feel like there's something bigger happening? You know, some people are saying this is the biggest organized demonstration in history with all 50 states participating and international protests occurring. You know, I mean, some massive, real symbols that look like we're really getting record numbers involved in this movement, finally, for once and for all. But seems like we've had pretty amazing, world-stopping, incredible protests for 60 years now, you know, and longer. If you want to call the Civil War a giant protest, you know. And we keep just running into the same problem. We keep just having to be reminded over and over again, oh yeah, that's right, we're still working on that. So yeah, but I've been seeing when people have been asked, does this feel different? The one thing that they're saying maybe feels different, maybe signifies a little bit of hope, a little bit of progress, is that it seems like white folks who are trying to get involved with the cause, instead of going out and being loud and proud and showing their support publicly, which they are doing, it seems like there's more of a focus on introspection this time and personal accountability. And accountability is a big buzzword with this whole thing because we've been talking so much about police accountability and how what we want is increased accountability for our police force because that's what's been so sorely lacking. That's one of the things that's been so sorely lacking in this problem of systemic racism, both in just society at large and especially in the police force. But accountability has been kind of the thing that's been asked for. And I think that I'm seeing that. Because when this was all starting, it's like I was in a place where I was like, I don't know what to say. I don't know. There's so much fear about what if I say the wrong thing, or I show my support in the wrong way, or I look like I'm being performative, or it's not enough, or I accidentally use the wrong hashtag, which I did. I posted that black tile thing and used the wrong hashtag, and someone corrected me, and then I changed it, and they said, take the photo down. It's actually still crowding the feeds, and it's like, and I allowed myself to get frustrated. Like, see, this is why I just don't speak up because no matter what I do, no matter how I try to show my support, it's never enough. I'm always the bad guy. You know, if I speak up, I'm taking up space, and if I'm quiet, my white silence speaks volumes, and I'm not doing enough, you know. And it always just feels like no matter what I do, I'm doing the wrong thing. And but if I allow that frustration of my fear of being perceived as though my intentions are worse than they are. You know, if I allow my ego and my fear to drive my actions, then I'm in trouble. So it really does have to start with humility and introspection. That's where it's got to start. Because I've allowed myself over the last several years to take my eye off the ball and to slip. And I'm saying this publicly right now, Because I think it's important to acknowledge. I've allowed myself from time to time to buy into unhelpful narratives. I've allowed myself to look at protests, not the recent ones, but protests over the last few years sometimes and think, well, that's a little extreme. That's a little much. That messaging is a little violent, a little extreme. I'm not sure if I'm behind that. Rather than thinking about what the protest is for in the first place, choosing to prioritize my feelings about how they're getting the message across rather than the message itself. I've done that. And it's a good way to excuse yourself from having to be part of the fight. Well, I don't agree with how they're conducting the fight, so I'm not going to be part of it. But what's underneath that? What's behind that? Again, personal accountability, going in, trying to figure this out from the inside out. If you agree with the message, why are you more concerned with how you think it's being conveyed than with the message, with making sure that the message itself gets conveyed? I mean, if you just go, well, this is my chance to just stay quiet on this, then it doesn't sound like you really do believe in the message. It sounds like you're finding a way to get out of it. And I'm saying this about myself. I'm not saying, so if you're sitting there listening going like, well, you don't know me, you don't know my intentions, I'm talking about myself. This is about introspection. This is about looking inward. You know, this is about what I've been doing the last few days. Part of the reason why I'm so frustrated and why I'm so mad is because I'm really looking at myself and going, damn, dude, you slipped. You took your eye off the ball. There's a prayer, a poem at the back of the big book for Alcoholics Anonymous called A Vision for You. And it talks about cultivating your spiritual relationship with your higher power so that you can transmit that to other people. And it says, obviously we cannot transmit something you have, obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. And that line always stands out to me so much. It's the same thing as RuPaul saying, if you don't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else? If you don't have it on the inside, if you haven't cultivated a relationship with whatever, again, when I say higher power, I'm using the AA definition of it's whatever you want it to be. It's whatever it is to you. But if you haven't done the work to cultivate that spirit of love and that light within yourself, you can't begin to go and proselytize that light and share that light and share that message. If you haven't cultivated self-love, then you don't have much shot at being a good lover of other people. And that's something that I'm finding out big in the last few years of my life. Big, dude. I was having a hard time showing love for my friends and my family and my past partners. I was having a really hard time showing up and showing love for people who I was dating, just when I was dating casually, when I was single. I was having a really hard time showing compassion for people when they were having, you know, when they were having really legitimate causes, like really legitimate anger about things like being murdered in alarming numbers without, and their murderers going free, even though the murder's on camera, you know, people being mad about real stuff. And I was having a hard time showing compassion and showing love because I was not cultivating love within myself. I was talking to my friend last night about this album that is coming out soon, and I'm not saying this to promote my album. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what's the kind of journey that I've been on as an artist. My music for so long was about... Sorry, I've got my sound on my computer, so everyone heard that. That's a little email. We'll just mute that. Mute the sounds. My songs for so long were about my own feelings of inadequacy and feeling like I'm not good enough and feeling like, and just talking a lot about how I hate myself. I literally have a line in one of my songs that says, "No man knows me well enough to hate me more than me." That's all about how other people don't deserve to hate me as much as I hate me. And it's also kind of this thing of like, oh, you think I'm a piece of shit? Well, you should know how much I think I'm a piece of shit. That was kind of like my identity, was really, really going hard on myself and not letting myself off the hook for anything. And if people ask me, why do you hate yourself? I'd say, oh, because I really, when people love themselves, I kind of thought like, oh, well, you're not doing enough hard thinking about what a piece of shit you are and how you're contributing to how terrible the society is. So I thought I was in the right. I thought I was doing the right thing by hating myself. I really felt justified in hating myself because I felt like a responsible person sees the ways that they contribute to the world being so unjust, and they don't let themselves off the hook for that and just say, I love me. I think I'm great. I think I'm the best. A responsible person has some... I thought that accountability meant punishing yourself forever by hating yourself. You know, you don't deserve to be happy. You should be depressed. You should be anxious because you're not doing anything about the world's injustices. The problem with that mindset, though, is it keeps you trapped in a place where you are unable to do anything for yourself or anyone else. It keeps you trapped in a place where you're completely unable to really show up for the people that you need to be able to show up for. It keeps you trapped in selfishness. It keeps you trapped in self-seeking. It keeps you trapped in ego. It keeps you trapped in fear. And it's a useless place to be. And if you're in that place right now, I am sorry, and I'm saying this as a person who lived there for a very long time and who thought that's just what my life was going to be like. And it's only been these last 2 years that I've started to come out of that place, and I actually have started to go inward and cultivate that relationship with what I call my higher self. And when I meditate, I go in and I try to talk to my higher self, and I try to get to a place where I can say, I love you. I'm talking to me, and I'm talking to whatever my higher self is, and I'm trying to not separate the two. I try to go in and cultivate a spirit of gratitude. And believe me, there's this urge of thinking, come on, no, get outside of yourself and like go out there and like save the world. Go out there and help people. And I want to do that, but it has to start inward. So the prayer starts with, and the meditation starts with, I love you. Thank you. Thank you for being with me and for bearing with me. I love you. You're so strong. Thanks for showing up today for this meditation. Thanks for doing this. I know you didn't want to do this. I love you for being here. I appreciate you for taking the time to do this. And then once I really feel that and I feel that love and that appreciation, then I can try to transmit the message. Now I want to pray for all my friends who don't have inner peace right now. I want to pray for all my friends who don't have a good sense of self-love right now. Now I want to send out this message to anyone who feels angry and lost and abandoned right now. I want to send this message out to police officers who feel conflicted, who feel like they don't know if they're doing the right thing right now by listening to their commanding officers or by the president of the fucking United States. I want to send this message out to him, but it's got to start in here. It's got to start inside first. First, I have to cultivate it within. I've got to do my personal accountability and my introspection. I've got to cultivate self-love before I can transmit love. So again, personal accountability, I haven't been doing that, you guys, even this past week. I've been waking up and the first thing I do is I spend an hour on my phone watching videos of police shooting tear gas and rubber bullets into crowds indiscriminately, spraying people in the face point blank with mace, people who are begging them to stop. I watch video after video after video and I start my day blaring hot mad. Mad to the point where I can't speak. I mean, shaken. And it's impossible for me to try to calm down and meditate at that point. And you know, if you're out there like this, and if you're feeling me on this, and if you're like, yeah, me too, man, that's how I feel. I get it because, and I said this to my sponsor yesterday, I was talking to him on the phone and I said, it's kind of like mourning. You know, it's kind of like when my buddy died a few months ago, and I talked about that on the show. and anyone who's experienced a loss like this, I think will understand when someone comes to you and tries to give you a message that's uplifting when you're in the middle of mourning or when you're right in the thick of it, and someone tries to bring you some love and some light, like, I'm sending some light your way, and you know, or like, or they're in a better place, and like, I hope you know that, like, if you're anything like me, it's like, don't tell me to feel better right now. I don't want to feel better right now. I want to feel mad and sad and upset. That's what's appropriate right now. I'm feeling the appropriate emotion, so don't tell me something that's meant to make me feel better, you know? And that's why it's been hard for me to meditate. And that's what I said to my sponsor is, like, I feel appropriately mad. I feel like I've let myself slip, and I feel like I've let myself forget that I'm supposed to be mad about this stuff. And I feel like I've let myself off the hook in so many ways. I feel like I've let myself buy into bad ideas and bad narratives. And I feel personally responsible. And I feel like I'm supposed to be upset right now. And, you know, he acknowledged that and understood. And of course, and I understand if you feel the same way out there. And I think it is important to acknowledge and to honor your anger and to acknowledge and honor your frustrations and your fears, to acknowledge and honor the fact that you see the ways in which you've fallen short and you are upset about them. So this is the opposite of the version that I used to be, where my version of accountability used to be to hate myself and to punish myself and to hold a grudge against myself and to make sure that I didn't allow myself any love. In self-love, I get to look at the ways that I've fallen short. I get to see them and acknowledge them and feel appropriately disappointed and upset about them. But I've got to start from a place of love. So I've had to switch over the last couple of days my daily routine. I've had to remember that before I get on the internet, and before I start watching videos, and before I start posting, I need to meditate first. I need to cultivate first. I need to go inward first. Cultivate that self-love. Make sure that I am asking and seeking to bring my message with love. And that's what I'm hoping to do on this podcast. Even if it sounds like I'm angry, even if it sounds like I'm ranting, I meditated right before this. And I'm not saying that means that I'm automatically right now. Of course not. I'm saying that the intent behind this is to communicate something that is open for discussion, open for input, open for feedback. Of course I want to hear from you. And I'm mostly talking about myself right now. That's the idea. Because, yeah, I'm frustrated. I'm mad. You know, it's insane right now. It's so crazy. It's so crazy to see police doubling and tripling down on police brutality while people are protesting police brutality. It's so insane. It's like the house next door to you caught on fire, so you called the fire department to come help, and they showed up and they lit your house on fire. Like what are you doing? Why are you lighting more houses on fire? I'm telling you that there's a fire. You're supposed to put it out. And they light all the houses on the street on fire. And maybe that's not an exact analogy. Let's say this. Let's say that you're going to a March for Our Lives for the Second Amendment because, again, another mass shooting happened in the U.S. Not hard to imagine. You've all lived through plenty. But so you go to a March for Our Lives to say that we need gun reform now. We need some higher restrictions on how people can get guns. We need a higher level of access for licensing for guns. You want to demand change right now. And to express their distaste with your protest, the police are dispatched and they just start mass murdering people. Just, oh, you thought that one mass shooting was bad? How about mass shootings 20 times a day in 20 different cities every single day for the next week? How's that? And again, I know the analogy's not one-to-one. I made a video the other day and I put it on TikTok, and it was about how when people when people say, yeah, I definitely feel bad about this George Floyd thing. I think it's messed up. It's so bad. But like, I just cannot condone looting. I cannot condone that kind of violence. And I was responding to that and saying, when you say that, you sound like this. And the comparison I made was basically someone saying, you know, yeah, I think the Holocaust was really, really bad. But when I saw the Allied forces going into German cities and just like breaking windows, like burning buildings, like flipping cars over, I could not support that kind of violence. Like that to me is so messed up. And it really made me just feel like they discredited their own cause when they did that, you know? And so that's the point I'm making, is that like you're prioritizing the wrong violence. Yeah, sure, war is bad. World War II sucked. So many people died. So many Americans died. So many innocent people died. It fucking sucked. But something had to be done about Hitler and his boys in the Third Reich, you know? So you don't prioritize the fact that we had to go into German cities and carpet bomb places where there were innocent people over the fact that there was 6 million Jews killed in concentration camps, and you know, and that Germany was trying to take over the world, you know? And so again, some people said, well, what are you comparing cops to Nazis? You know, that's a pretty bad analogy. And I got some feedback like that. First of all, analogies are not supposed to be one-to-one comparisons. That's why they're analogies. It's by definition not the same thing. And also the analogy that I was making was not about how cops are like Nazis, although I could make an analogy like that if I wanted to, I'm sure. But that's not the analogy. The analogy is about how when you make an argument that prioritizes your outrage over looting over your outrage over Black lives, you're making the wrong argument. You can be against both things. You can be against war and against the Holocaust and be more against the Holocaust, be more against that wrong, you know? So you can be against looting and be against violent protests, but be more against the fact that police are just murdering Black people in just droves on camera and routinely getting away with it. And then at the protests, they're showing up and beating people with batons, shooting them with rubber bullets, shooting them with tear gas, macing them point blank in the face, people who have their hands in the air and are begging them to stop and saying, please stop, you don't have to do this. And the police fire over and over again, shoving them to the ground with their shields, knocking them on their backs so that they hit their heads and crack their skulls open. Over and over again, this is their response to this protest. And you're choosing to prioritize your outrage over the fact that some cars are getting spray painted and some stores are getting looted. So that was the analogy being made. And that's the analogy I'm making also when I say, you know, responding to a protest about police brutality with police brutality is like firefighters lighting all the houses on the street on fire instead of putting out the one that's on fire. It's not a one-to-one comparison, but the point is, it's insane to respond to a protest about police brutality with just massively increased police brutality across the country. Just massively ramp it up. So yeah, I'm mad, you guys. I'm frustrated and I'm mad about that. And I messed up. I came for a friend, a high school friend who I've come for a few times online. And this is the thing, is like, I have to monitor myself with getting active politically on social media. I really do. Because what can happen is my ego can kind of take over. And my anger and my frustration can have me acting out of that place of ego and anger and fear rather than the place of love. And I can respond to someone with the intent to just fucking dunk on them and blow them up rather than the intent to engage them in an actual conversation and try to see if I can't sway them to see things another way. You know, I just want to tell them how dumb I think they are and how wrong I think they are. And that thing coming from that place, I did it. And the dude blocked me and now we're not friends on Instagram or on Facebook anymore. And I have to be careful with this stuff because when I allow myself to be driven by ego and fear, my emotional sobriety is in jeopardy. And when my emotional sobriety is in jeopardy, my actual sobriety is not far behind. So I really do have to be careful about this stuff. And if you're out there and you're in a similar position where you feel like I can't really afford to get as mad as I feel like I should be or as involved as I feel like I should be because it just the emotional distress worries me, I feel you. And I'm on that same plane. I have to be careful. And I wasn't being careful. I was leading with anger and ego. And so I've had to now try to think of what's the most loving way to get the message across. And when people ask questions, when I post things, rather than responding to them like, are you serious? Did you not read? You really read my thing and you didn't understand that? That's the dumbest question I've ever seen. Rather than getting frustrated, I have to try to find a way to say, that's a good question. Thank you for asking that question. And finding a way to respond that is productive and that is based in love. And I'll tell you, that's something that's a lot easier for me when I'm cultivating that love inside of myself. So holding myself accountable for the ways that I've taken my eye off the ball and allowed more things like this to happen isn't about hating myself for being a secret racist. It's about seeing where I've fallen short, being upset and disappointed, honoring that, and then trying to do my work, my daily work, my daily effort to cultivate light and love within myself and then bring that to my message of protest. I think my buddy's right. I think this is a white issue. I think this is our issue to fix. And the Black community, while we need to be amplifying their stories and their voices and listening so much to them right now, they can't fix this problem for us. And that's just the truth. And I can't fix this problem for us. I saw another post that I loved, again, about accountability, about this going inward that said, yesterday I was clever and I thought I was going to change the world. Today I am wise and I realized I'm just going to change myself. Accountability, personal accountability. If you want police accountability, it starts inward. So yeah, we need to be listening to Black stories right now, and we need to be honoring Black outrage right now, and Black anger, and Black sorrow, and Black joy, and Black music, and Black art. We need to be honoring this part of our society absolutely right now. But that's not going to fix it. This podcast isn't going to fix it. I'm not going to fix it. My posts on social media aren't going to fix it. Your posts on social media aren't going to fix it. It's all got to start inside. Me working on me, you working on you. One of the bad narratives that I allowed myself to fall into, that again, I'm just trying to get this stuff out there to let you know that I see you and I know what's holding you back, because I was the same way. You know? It's kind of like when I left Mormonism, when I left the church, you know, people would try to come to me with like their arguments and say, have you thought about this though? Have you thought about this? And I'd say, here's the problem. Here's the incongruity with us having this conversation. I know your side because I lived it. You don't know my side because you haven't been over here. And so again, not a one-to-one analogy. Again, analogies don't need to be one-to-one, but I get what's holding you back because it's the same things that were holding me back. I live that way. I'm telling you what's helped me is doing that daily hard work of trying to cultivate some sense of spiritual health and self-love so that I can be more open and compassionate when listening to my fellows and hearing about their stories. Rather than being defensive or defaulting to ego, which is my default, and it is so hard for me to break that cycle, rather than always defaulting to that, I can listen more if I'm cultivating my own spiritual health. And I know that some of the things that are holding you back are, you know, sometimes when people say, you need to look inward, there's this feeling of like, why me? What did I do? I'm not racist. I have been holding myself accountable. I've never called The Police on a Family of Black People Who Were Having a Picnic at a Park. I've never crossed the street when I saw a black person walking toward me. I've never ever thought anything negative about any of my black friends or had any negative stereotypes in my head. Why me? Why do I have to do this work? I've fallen into these narratives. The narratives that say, what about the black community itself? Why? What are they doing to improve themselves? What are they doing to fix the problem of, you know, fatherless households and stuff like that? First of all, we could go into a whole thing, and we probably will do a whole thing on systemic poverty and impoverished communities and how redlining communities has contributed to systemic racism and poverty in our country and how all that plays out. But again, before defaulting to defensiveness and ego and fear and anger and going, what are you looking at me for? What do I have to do? Why don't you look at them before pushing the onus back on someone else? Know that the only way any of this gets any better is if it starts with you, because you're the only person that you can actually really do anything about. So that's why you. The answer's really simple. Why me? Because it has to be you. Because going, well, why not them? Yeah, sure. Well, they're doing their own work too. Believe, just let them do their work and you do you. And you do you doesn't mean just business as usual. You do you means if you actually care, if you actually see there's a problem and you actually want to do something about it, start with yourself. And I am not doing any of this to sound preachy. Again, I'm talking about me. I might as well be delivering this monologue directly into the mirror. So yeah, I'm mad. I'm frustrated. I'm emotional. And if you've listened this far, thank you so much. I love you. If you've been doing what you can, I'm proud of you, and I see you, and that's awesome. And if you've been held back up until now because of one of the things I talked about or something else, that's okay. You're human. That's all right. It's okay to adjust as well. You still can. I know about the fear of feeling like, yeah, but if I change now, everyone's going to think I'm being opportunistic or I'm fake or I'm a hypocrite. I know about that. I know about that. You can. You can change. Because it's not about what other people think about your journey. It really is about doing esteemable acts so that you can cultivate self-esteem and self-love. So the two feed each other. The self-love needs to come first so that you can transmit it, and then transmitting it is an esteemable act that will build self-esteem and add to self-love and make your life better. Your personal life will be better with increased personal accountability. And by extension, hopefully, maybe, you can help some other people too. You can do that ultimate good, and you can engage in some service and get outside of yourself. Thanks for listening this week. Thank you so much. It means a lot. Feel free to reach out if you want to talk. I'm here, no judgment, for real. If you got to get some stuff off your chest, if you got to confess some ways in which you've fallen short, for real, you can just call me. Okay. I love you guys. I love doing this show. That's it. Thanks. Oh, yeah. Black Lives Matter.